11:30. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The Regulatory Reform and Economic Development Subcommittee will come to order. Amy, please call the roll.
Chair Saroy.
Here.
Vice Chair Yeager. Ranking Democratic Member Casello.
Here.
Representatives Amnesty.
Here.
Chamberlain.
Here.
Gant. Holcomb.
Here.
Maggard. Maney.
Here.
McFarland. Here. Mello. Nixon. Robinson.
Here.
Schoaf. Silvers.
Here.
Valdez.
Present.
A quorum is present.
Members, we have a full agenda today. Please be concise with your questions and clear with your comments. Speak into the microphone. Members of the audience wishing to provide testimony, please fill out an appearance card. Representative McClure, you're recognized to present House Bill 1559.
Thank you, Chairman. House Bill 1559 expands workforce opportunities for Floridians by allowing land surveyor license applicants to substitute work experience for current bachelor's degree prerequisite. That is a good bill.
Members, Chairman. Questions of Representative McClure. Questions of Representative McClure. Seeing no questions, we'll now move to public testimony. Tyler Cox waves in support. Members, we're now in debate. Is there debate? Seeing no debate, Representative McClure, you're recognized to close on the bill. Having waived close, Amy, please call the roll on House Bill 1559, professional licensure by McClure.
All right. Chair Saroy.
Yes.
Vice Chair Yeager. Ranking Democratic Member Casello.
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty.
Yes.
Chamberlain.
Yes.
Gant. Holcomb.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Holcomb.
Yes.
Maggard. Maney.
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland.
Yes.
Mello, Nixon, Robinson.
Yes.
Schoaf.
Yes.
Silvers.
Yep.
Valdez.
So 1559 reported favorably. Thank you, Representative McClure. Members will now move to House Bill 1537, Vacation Rentals, by Representative Griffs. Representative Griffs, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to present this in front of you today. This vacation rental bill seeks to provide some balance between individual property rights with three broad goals: standardize the licensing process of vacation rentals in the state, make available the information and tools necessary for effective and efficient enforcement of good neighbor codes, and ensure the efficient and effective collection of taxes due on vacation rental transactions. And that is the bill, sir.
Thank you, Representative Griffiths. Members, we do have an amendment. I recommend that we go ahead and take up the amendment and then move into questions. Representative Griffiths, you're recognized on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Showman, for this opportunity. This bill has existed in similar forms over the past few years. Many of you have heard it in similar formats. The underlying bill in this proposal was initially put forward by the Senate in this session, but after much conversation with advocates from all sides of the industry, I've crafted this an amendment that I think will streamline the bill and balances the property rights of interested parties. Many changes in the amendment, but each of them is aimed at a goal of clarifying the defining roles of local, state, and private industry while respecting the property rights of the people of the free state of Florida. The end result is this. The standardized process of registering vacation rentals at the local level throughout the state can be used through the local tax collectors. Cities and counties are provided access to information necessary to lever and enforce suspensions, revocations, and bad actors. The state, through the Department of Business and Professional Regulation, will stand up and maintain an online portal for vacation rental regulation, which will contain a public-facing database for vacation rentals, which will contain every vacation rental in the state, including the location, responsible party information, and correlating the state license number and local registry number for local governments or concerned neighbors to use to immediately access actionable information. Local governments may transmit suspensions and revocations directly into the database for the DPPR to enforce. Platforms which advertise vacation rentals are required to post license number and every vacation rental advertisement on their site, be responsive to suspensions and revocations posted throughout the database, and additionally, they must transmit a quarterly list to the DBPR of all vacation rentals advertisements listed on their platforms, along with the associated state license number, within coordination with the online database, will provide a full view of the state and at local levels of everyone advertising as a vacation rental in the state. This will allow the DBPR to perform quarterly audits to find the bad actors in the state. Platforms are responsible to collect and remit all taxes on vacation rental transactions, and this bill will grant unprecedented tools at the local and state level to effectively prohibit the operation of bad actors while also ensuring adequate due process, ability to redress wrongs, cure violations where appropriate, so that the property rights of good actors are never infringed upon. And that is the amendment, sir.
Thank you. Members, as is our practice, I'll recognize you for a question, a follow-up. We'll rotate through. Representative Gantt, you're recognized for a question on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On lines 47 through, I guess I want to say 52, requiring the registration and only identifying the information about the owner, what is the purpose of, like, just simply identifying the owner in that particular portion of the bill or the amendment?
You're recognized.
I think to identify the owner would help in enforcement issues. If you have a noise, trash type of complaint, you have to have a responsible party that can be notified. It's easy to run into a hotel and grab the desk clerk or the manager, but for a vacation rental, there's typically no one in place to enforce it. It's usually just the tenant. So you have to have someone, a responsible party, to be available.
Representative Gantt for follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Regarding lines 60 through 66, it goes on the next page, but that section 5, regarding the telephone number. So is it only a requirement to have a phone number where a person can call? Are any actions about the complaint or anything else required under that provision?
Recognized.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chair. In this provision, a phone number is required so that somebody can be contacted, and that person or that owner or responsible party has to be available by 9 a.m. the next morning to address these complaints.
Members, additional questions? Ranking Member Casello.
Thank you, Chair. Going on to what your premise of your question answer there. So I have an issue on the property, about the property. I contact the owner or the management company. They have until 9 a.m. the next morning to respond?
You're recognized.
They have till 9 a.m. to show up in person to respond. They're supposed to respond immediately, as most responsible owners do. But if they don't, by 9 a.m. the next morning, there has to be a responsible party to address the issues.
Ranking Member.
Thank you, Chair. I come from a public safety side of it. And if there's an issue, okay, how long do you think it should take to respond to an emergency call to the property?
You're recognized.
Thank you for your service, Mr. Rep. Casello. If you call 911 for a fire, if you need an ambulance, if you need police, I would hope they would respond immediately. If you're calling for a trash complaint, that's typically a code violation. That might take a little bit longer response time. But those immediate responses through a 911 call, a noise complaint would go straight to the police. A medical complaint would go straight to the ambulance or the fire or the first responders. So I would think they would respond immediately.
Members, additional questions? Representative Gantt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. These may be my last two questions. Regarding subsection 8 on beginning in lines 333, well, really 7 and 8. So from 327 to 337. Why are we exempting advertising companies that exist on different platforms? Like, what is the rationale to not allow a cause of action against them?
Representative Griffiths.
Thank you. Rep. Gantt, you're referring to line 333 through 337?
Yes.
I think they're trying to, I think what we're trying to point out is that the platform, we talk about the discrimination policy, correct? But the cause of action policy, the platform is what it is. It's an advertising platform. It's not the tenant owner. It's not the responsible party. They are strictly an advertising platform. So the cause of action was trying to remove them from probably being tied into the deeper pocket theory.
Representative Gantt for follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, that was my last question.
Thank you. Ranking Member.
Thank you, Chair. Rep, can you explain a little bit, how does your bill protect the quality of life about the neighbors around these places that they're getting these complaints about trash and loud noise? How does it improve their quality of life, some who have lived in that neighborhood for years and years?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, this is a very delicate issue, Ranking Member, as obviously the travel trends have changed over the last 25 years. Who would have ever thought that you could rent houses in neighborhoods for short-term rentals, and in that regards, pack them like a mini hotel. So neighborly codes, if everyone was neighborly, we wouldn't be having these discussions today. I think this state registry, what will it allows to do is it allows the locals, you and I, or any John Q. public, as well as the local governments and municipalities, to have the ability to know who is in your community actually renting short-term rentals. It will allow those communities to find the bad actors and weed them out.
Ranking member. All right, thank you. Members, any additional questions on the amendment? Seeing no additional questions on the amendment, we'll now move to public testimony. We have one card. Jennifer Green, on behalf of Expedia and VRBO, is a proponent, waiving in support. Members, we're now back on the bill. Is there debate? I'm sorry, we're back on the amendment. Is there debate? Debate on the amendment. Representative Gant, you're recognized. Yeah. We'll wait till the bill in. How about that? All right. Members, so we've concluded debate on the amendment. Representative Griffiths, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Wave close.
Having waived close on the amendment without objection, we will show the amendment adopted. Members will now move to public testimony on the bill. We have Mayor Larissa Savichin, City of Sunny Isle Beach, waves in opposition. Samantha Padgett, Florida Restaurant Lodging Association, appears for informational purposes only. Ma'am, you're recognized for 1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Samantha Padgett. I'm the General Counsel for the Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association. We first want to thank the sponsor for his time and his open door to all of those involved in this very difficult issue. We have expressed to him our concern about some components of the new amendments to the bill. First, we want to say thank you for adding quarterly reporting. We think this is absolutely a very important mechanism in this regulatory space. We need to be able to compare what is licensed by the state to what is listed on the platform. And I think this is the right step in the direction, but there is more information needed. This current amendment also, the bill, switches the burden of confirming licensure from the platform having to confirm licensure before it is listed to having the DBPR have to follow up and challenge that whether or not it is valid. It also doesn't require pulling down the advertisement. It just says that they can't book it. These are concerns we continue to have, and we look forward to working with the sponsor to addressing these. But again, what is most important is that what is licensed can be readily compared with what is listed. And only if we can do that can we actionably and meaningfully regulate in this space. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, ma'am. Megan Cannon, Florida Tax Watch, for information. You'll be followed by Tiffany Edwards. Ms. Edwards, if you want to make your way forward. Ms. Cannon, you're recognized for 1 minute.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair and distinguished members. I work with Florida Tax Watch, and last month we released our report, The Impact of Unlicensed Vacation Rentals on Florida's Economy. We wrote this report because we wanted to call for greater accountability and transparency of the vacation rental market industry. And one of our recommendations is requiring registration numbers on the property listings on online marketplaces. If you would like to find more information, please visit our website. And we thank the sponsor for bringing attention to this important issue. And thank you for letting me share my thoughts with you today.
Thank you. Tiffany Edwards, Florida Professional Vacation Rental Coalition. Ma'am, you're recognized for 1 minute.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Tiffany Edwards, and I'm a lifelong vacation rental property manager operator. My mom started a business in Destin, Florida, one of the first back in the early 80s. And I just wanted to express my deep thanks for the sponsor for working with us, meeting with us. We believe, and we lived in all of these communities, we've worked on local ordinances, and we believe that there is a balance that we can have between local governments, a standard of living, and business owners and property rights. So we do have some concerns, but we are working through them, and we just thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. Allison Dennington, Melbourne Beach Mayor, is an opponent of the bill. Mayor, you're recognized for 1 minute. Fellow Brevard County resident, you're recognized.
Hi, Allison Dennington, town of Melbourne Beach. I want our home rule back, but I know you're not going to give that to us, so I'm going to go straight to at least make an express requirement that you put the full address. It's false and deceptive that it's not on there, and there's all of these rentals that people are having to pay money just to get the address to be able to cite them. Create some kind of a task force that reaches out to these local communities where we have problems, because preemption, it stops regulatory innovation that would have otherwise occurred. And we have five houses on one street where it's the same owner, and they are advertising it as multifamily, and there's parties. And every time a house goes for sale, that street sign comes up, the question is it going to be an addition to the community, a new family with kids who are going to contribute and go to churches, and or is it going to be a vacation rental where, you know, people are coming in, partying, driving on unfamiliar roads, putting our kids at risk? So that's what I'd like to say.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you. Next speaker is Travis Moore, Community Association Institute and Ocean Hammock Property Owners Association. You're recognized for 1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. Thank you to the sponsor. The amendment does keep intact the association's ability to deal with rental restrictions and manage that contract that they have with the residents that are living there in those buildings or neighborhoods. Our concern is the occupancy. We rely on local regulations, local ordinances to deal with the policing of these things. You do not want your associations doing any more police work than they already unfortunately do. And I think if we can continue to work on behalf of your residents that live in associations as it relates to occupancy, and right now we still are tied to that magic 2011 date, which if we could roll back the clock, I think we would have a whole bunch of ordinances passed. But thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to answer any questions on behalf of your associations.
Thank you. Jack Corey, an opponent of the bill, representing Jacksonville Beach. You're recognized for 1 minute, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and I'd like to thank the sponsor for meeting with me. The bill as amended would restrict local governments to only identifying information of the owner, which could be the ABC Delaware Corporation owned by the XYZ Grand Cayman Corporation, to a party who is capable of responding to complaints or emergencies by telephone. This could be a 1-800 answering service. It does not require action to be taken in a reasonable time, even for emergencies. The court may award attorney's fees, costs, and damages to vacation rental owners. This will increase litigation and provides a one-way attorney fee. It exempts out-of-state big tech companies from litigation. The bill has the potential unintended consequences that could adversely affect workforce housing. We look forward to continually working with the sponsor to protect home rule. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Sam Wagner, Florida League of Cities, an opponent of the bill. We followed by Jennifer Green, Expedia and VRBO. Mr. Wagner, you're recognized for 1 minute.
Thank you, Representative. My name is Sam Wagner. I'm with the Florida League of Cities, and we're opposed to the bill as it stands today. We have three chief concerns. Number one is that the bill is going to fail to create any statewide uniformity. So when you look at the bill, you're going to have three separate standards if this becomes law. Number one, you're going to have your pre-2011s. You're going to have those who choose to participate in this registration program and those who do not. The second reason that we are opposed to the bill is that the bill fails to give cities any usable tools that we don't already have. So for example, if I want to create a registration program here in the state of Florida, I can do that. If I want to fine a vacation rental operator for failing to participate in said program, I can do that as well. And the bill fails to provide that. The third thing that the bill is going to focus on the local ordinancing aspect. So for instance, if you think your city is getting a little out of control and a little ahead of their skis, focus on the fact that last year y'all passed 1515, the local ordinances bill. This puts in check any ordinance that's a little arbitrary or unreasonable. So for those reasons, we're opposed to the bill, but I do thank the representative for being very open and accessible. He's been very gracious throughout this process. And if you have any questions, we accept them.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Jennifer Green waves in support. Members, we're now in debate. Representative Gant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll be brief. I'm sorry I wasn't able to get to you beforehand. It's been quite a interesting week, but I will be down today. I have a lot of concerns about the, my last question that I actually forgot was about whether or not it was preemption and if it handcuffs local municipalities from being able to further regulate these vacation rentals. And then the basis of my questions before, a phone number without actionable steps being taken afterwards, that's a concern for me. So I am open to speak with you. I appreciate you reaching out. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Members, we're in debate. Ranking Member Casello, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Rep, I have a lot of respect for you. You do a great job, and your door is always open. I respect that. I wrote down a few things here. The companion bill that's with your bill here is 280 over in the Senate side. And Senate Bill 280 proposes giving $3.5 million to the already understaffed DBPR to hire 9 people. If even a majority of these new hires work on this, each will have to monitor 50,000 to 100,000 rental businesses continuously on over 60 rental platforms. The result? Short-term rentals will no longer have any effective supervision under this bill. It would also remove the ability of local annual inspections and short-term rentals. And lastly, prohibits the tools that local government uses very effectively to regulate bad actors. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ranking Member. Representative Holcomb, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative. As a former commissioner yourself and myself, I know you've gotten the calls, and I got the same calls about complaints from these businesses. I struggle with this because it's personal property. People should be able to do what they want to do with their personal property. But that personal property is in a residential neighborhood, and it's functioning as a business. That's where the problem comes in. But I like the registration. I like some of the aspects of the bill. I showed you some concerns about the foreclosure part, and I'll be up on the bill.
Members, further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Griffiths, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for all the comments, and I appreciate everyone who's come to my office, and we've discussed this in highly animated conversations over the last few weeks. I will tell you, 45 years in the hotel business with my family, former county commissioner, I know these problems very, very well. They're not going away. The preemption part is a conversation we've had. Home rule is a conversation we had. We cannot put that genie back in the bottle. I believe personally that this bill will help streamline the process. It will give a uniformity across the state, and it will help us weed out the bad actors. And with that, I close.
Thank you very much, Representative Amy. Please call the roll on House Bill 1537 and announce the total.
Chair Saroy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yeager?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Casello?
No.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Gant?
No.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yesterday.
McFarland? Yes. Mello? Nixon?
No.
Robinson?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
No.
Valdez? 11 to 4.
Thank you, Amy. Members will show House Bill 1537 reported favorably.
Thank you, members.
Representative. Members, next we'll move to House Bill 1245, Veterinary Professional Associates, by Representative Killebrew. Representative Killebrew, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the members. This bill creates the title Veterinary Professional Associate, which is the same as the PAs that you visit when you go to your doctors. And it allows such individuals who have obtained this title working under the supervision of a veterinarian to practice veterinary medicine on a limited basis. And that is the bill.
Thank you very much for that explanation. Members, are there questions of Representative Killebrew on the bill? Ranking Member, you're recognized.
Thank you, Representative Killebrew. I like the bill. My only question is that what kind of schooling will this assistant have to have other than working under the supervision of a veterinarian?
Representative Killebrew, you're recognized.
Sorry, thank you. There is a list of things they'll have to have, a master's degree, and there's also, there is a school in Tennessee that has a course in this, but they would have to do a master's degree that would follow the training of a veterinary doctor.
Thank you, Chair.
Members, questions on the bill. Representative Gant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and this will be my only question. Rep. Killebrew, mm-hmm. I received some concerns from some people that came to my office about the bill. Can you hear me? Okay, I received some concerns. Were you able to talk to any stakeholders about how this would impact them or anything?
Representative Killebrew, you're recognized.
Well, when you say stakeholders.
Representative Gant, for clarification.
Thank you. Veterinarians?
Veterinarians. I have talked to some veterinarians, but the state has thousands of veterinarians. So some are for it, some are against it, and there's a variety of reasons.
Representative Killebrew, I see that there's one amendment on your bill offered by Vice Chair Yeager. Vice Chair Yeager, you're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment just makes a grammatical change, does not change the context or intent of the bill.
Members, are there questions on Representative Killebrew's grammatical error? Members, are there questions on the amendment? Having no public testimony on the amendment, is there debate? Seeing no debate, we'll show that amendment adopted without objection. Members, we're now back on the bill and we'll move to public testimony. Travis Moore, Animal Legal Defense Fund, waves in support. Diana Ferguson, Florida Animal Control Association, waves in support. Robert Whedon, representing himself, is a proponent of the bill. Sir, you're recognized for 1 minute. You'll be followed by Jen Hobgood.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is Bob Whedon. I'm a veterinarian. I've been a private practitioner. I've been a university faculty member. I'm now a spay-neuter surgeon in Polk County, Florida. Veterinary medicine is experiencing a serious shortage of veterinarians, and it's estimated that 75 million pets in the United States could be without health care by 2030. The veterinary care accessibility score for Florida is 43 out of 100, placing Florida near the bottom third of states in access to care. It's estimated there's a backlog of 2.7 million spay-neuter surgeries in the United States, and with this legislation, a VPA under the supervision of a Florida-licensed veterinarian could perform sterilization surgeries, which would help alleviate that backlog. Creating the veterinary PA position will help increase access to veterinary care for Florida families. It'll alleviate the strain on veterinary health care exacerbated by the shortage, provide more veterinary career options to those who cannot get into veterinary school, lower the cost of care.
Sir, your time has expired. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Next speaker is Jen Hobgood, ASPCA, a proponent of the bill. Waves in support, that's appreciated. Richard Williams, FVMA, is an opponent of the bill. Sir, you're recognized for 1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. The FVMA's primary concern with this bill is for the safety of pets in Florida. Currently, there is no accreditation, educational standards, or uniform licensing exam in place for a VPA or veterinary professional associate anywhere in the United States, let alone in Florida. How can we ensure the safety of the client's pet when we can't even determine the training or the competency of the individual who's providing that service? And I'll remind you that that veterinarian does not even need to be on the supervising there, doesn't even need to be on the premises when the surgery is being done. This bill allows for a mid-level practitioner person to perform major abdominal surgery. Is there anyone in this room who would allow a PA to do a hysterectomy on themselves or on a family member? I don't believe so. There's not enough time in a two-year master's program to educate and prepare a student to practice veterinary medicine, let alone the difficulty of performing a major abdominal surgery with the potential complications that may occur. Representative Cheney has a bill in the House that elevates certified technicians within the state, and it's a good place to start.
Sir, your time is expired.
Thank you
very much. Our next speaker is Robert Murdigoff, Coalition for the Veterinary Professional Associates, a proponent of the bill. Sir, you're recognized for 1 minute.
Thank you. I'm Dr. Bob Murtaugh, a licensed veterinarian. I'm chair of the Coalition for the Veterinary Professional Associate. The CVPA is working with recognized national examination agency and a national accrediting agency in several universities to provide for the credentialed and accredited program that was mentioned just a moment ago by Dr. Williams. I'm also a partner in a company that owns 17 Florida veterinary hospitals. On a national level, there are 12,000 openings for just companion veterinarians at the present time, and we currently only graduate 4,000 veterinarians a year. In just my 17 hospitals here in Florida, we have openings for 5 primary care veterinarians, 8 ER docs, and several veterinary specialists. This illustrates the need in all of the practice areas for a VPA role akin to the PA that we're all familiar with for ourselves and our two-footed family members. The VPA role is also an opportunity for graduate veterinary technicians to climb a career ladder and continue growth opportunities. The University of Florida receives 1,500 qualified applicants for veterinary school each year for 150 spots.
Sir, your time is expired.
So the VPA track offers another opportunity as well.
Thank you very much. Our final speaker is Lisa Glunt, Leon County Humane Society, a proponent of the bill. Thank you very much. That's appreciated. Members, we're now back on the bill. We're in debate. Is there debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Killebrew, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close.
That's appreciated. Amy, please call the roll on House Bill 1245 and announce the vote.
Chair Saroy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yeager?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Casello?
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Gant? Yes. Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Nixon? Robinson?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Valdez?
15 yes, 0 nays. So that bill reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative. Members, next we're going to move to House Bill 813, Certified Public Accountants, by Representative Caruso. Representative Caruso, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill creates a retired status for a CPA licensee, provides guidelines on the roles and responsibilities a retired licensee has, and provides for a pathway for reactivating a CPA license if the retired licensee intends to rejoin the workforce. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Members, questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, we do have one amendment offered by Vice Chair Yeager. Forgive me. Ranking Member, did you have a question?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Chair. Representative, do you plan on going back into the business after retirement?
No, I don't.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ranking Member. Vice Chair Yeager, you're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment makes technical changes and clarifies continuing education requirements for retired status licensees who become active licensees.
Members, questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions on the amendment, having no public testimony, we're now in debate. Is there debate on the amendment? Debate on the amendment. Seeing no debate, Representative Vice Chair Yeager, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Wave close.
So the amendment adopted without objection. We're now back on the bill, moving to public testimony. Jason Harrell, Florida Institute of CPAs, waves in support. That's appreciated. Members, we're now in debate. Is there debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Russo, having waived close. Amy, please call the roll on House Bill 813 and announce the vote.
Chair Soroli?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yeager?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Casello?
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Nixon? Robinson?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Valdez?
Thank you, Amy. We'll show that bill reported favorably. Members, next,
thanks,
we're going to House Bill 583, Individual Wine Containers, by Representative LaMarca. Representative LaMarca, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and members of the committee. Members, this bill allows you to address two issues that this House leads our nation in: criminal justice reform and economic freedom. Current law, Section 5640.05, prohibits the sale of wine in an individual container that holds more than 1 gallon of wine unless it is sold in a reusable 5.16-gallon container. Because of violations of the Beverage Code or criminal unless stated otherwise, selling wine in a container larger than a gallon, except in a reusable container of 5.16 gallons, is a second-degree misdemeanor for the first offense and a third-degree felony after that. Members, this is not good public policy to criminalize the sale of a legal product based on the container size, and the statute should be modified.
Thank you, Representative LaMarca, for that explanation. Members, we're now in questions. Representative Gant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to clarify, this is allowing wine bottles to be recorked and taken home with them?
Representative LaMarca.
Thank you, Representative. No, this is specifically just to allow the sale of larger bottles than a 3 liter is the largest bottle you can buy right now.
Members, additional questions on the bill? Seeing no additional questions, we do have one amendment. Representative LaMarca, you're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm very, very happy to say that over the summer worked with the singular only opponent of this bill in past years, and we came up with a great compromise. The amendment removes lines 15 and 16, allows wine to be sold in glass containers of the sizes 4.5, 6, 9, 12, and 15 liters. And of course, if you prefer their biblical names, those are Jeroboam's, Methuselah's, Salmanazar's, Balthazar's, and Nebuchadnezzar's, because I know you want to hear that. And that's the amendment.
Members, I imagine there are many, many questions on the amendment. Are there any questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions, we'll now move to public testimony on the amendment. We have Monica Rodriguez, Southern Glazers Wine and Spirits, LLC, waves in support. That concludes public testimony on the amendment. We're now in debate. Members, is there debate? Debate on the amendment. Seeing no debate, Representative LaMarca, having closed on the amendment, will show that adopted without objection. We're now in public testimony on the bill. Christian Camera, Institute for Justice, waves in support. That's appreciated. Members, we're now in debate. Is there debate? Seeing Ranking Member Casello, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, real quick. Representative LaMarca, I applaud you for your advocacy for the wine industry. I think I've been up here 5 years now, and every year you've come up with a bill dealing with the wine industry, and I commend you for that. So And the other day, I did see a brand on the shelf named La Marca Wine. I was just wondering if you had any. No? I'm good, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ranking Member. Members, is there additional debate? Additional debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Lamarca, you're recognized to close on your bill.
I would wave close and say cheers.
Amy, please call the roll on House Bill 583 and announce the vote.
Chair Saroy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yeager?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Casello?
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Nixon? Robinson?
Yes.
Shove?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Valdez? 15 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, will show House Bill 583 reported favorably. Next, we'll move to House Bill 741, Town of Hillsborough Beach, Broward County, by Representative Lamarca. Representative Lamarca, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House Bill 741 is a local bill. It is a special act that would legislatively authorize residential condominiums to serve alcoholic beverages to residents and their guests, but not the general public, under certain circumstances in the town of Hillsborough Beach. This cannot be accomplished by local ordinance because alcohol licensing is preempted to the state. And that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Lamarca. Members, questions? Questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, we'll now move to public testimony. We have one appearance card. Gary Rutledge, Hillsborough Mile property owner, LLC, waves in support. We're now in debate. Is there debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Lamarca, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close.
Having waved close, Representative Amy, will you please call the roll on House Bill 741 and announce the vote?
Chair Saroy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yeager?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Casello?
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Nixon? Robinson?
Yes.
Shove?
Yes.
Silvers? Valdez? 15 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you very much, Amy. We'll show House Bill 741 reported favorably.
Thank you, members.
Members, next we'll move to House Bill 1419, Department of Commerce, by Representative Tuck. Chair Tuck, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good afternoon, members. House Bill 1419 is the Department of Commerce agency package. It touches and improves on a whole host of programs and initiatives by the Department of Commerce, with some of the highlights including expansion of the healthcare training opportunities through the CareerSource Florida Incumbent Worker Training Program, and providing operational clarity for such things as the State Workforce Board, transmittal of local government comprehensive plans, and covenant revitalization processes. That is the bill.
Thank you for that introduction. Members, are there questions? Questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, we'll now move to public testimony. Having no public testimony, members, is there debate? Is there debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Tuck, you're recognized to having waived close. Amy, please call the roll on House Bill 1419, Department of Commerce, and announce the vote.
Chair Saroy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yeager?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Casello?
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Nixon? Robinson?
Yes.
Shove?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Valdez? 15 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, members.
We'll show that bill reported favorably. Thank you, Representative Tuck. Members, next we'll move to House Bill 1659, location of equipment owned by amusement business owners, by Representative Fabricio and Representative Botana. Representative Fabricio, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for hearing this bill. Members, this bill will allow an option for owners of amusement equipment to store equipment on specified agricultural lands, and that's the bill.
Thank you for that explanation. Members, are there questions? Representative Nixon, you're recognized.
Can you tell me the purpose of this bill exactly?
Forgive me, Representative Nixon, I could not hear your question.
Oh, sorry. Speak a bit louder. I'm just trying to figure out what's the purpose of this bill.
Representative Fabricio, you're recognized.
The purpose of the bill is pretty clearly stated in Section 1. It's to allow amusement park operators to store equipment on agricultural lands which are larger than 5 acres for longer than 6 months without municipal or county interference.
Ranking Member, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Quick question. In the Palm Beach County area, we have what they call the Ag Reserve there, and we just had an issue with trucks over 12,000 pounds, banning them from parking on agricultural land. Would this preempt this? Would this allow this amusement equipment to be parked on agricultural lands, even though we preempted it out there? I mean, we've have an ordinance out there in Palm Beach?
This is specific.
Representative Fabricio, you're recognized.
Thank you. I apologize. This is specific to carnival equipment. So it wouldn't be across the board for any trucks or whatnot. It would be specific for the carnival equipment or circus equipment that's specified in the bill.
Ranking member for follow-up.
Thank you, Chair. But that equipment is carried by heavy-duty trucks, like Ferris wheels, carousels, that type of thing?
Representative Fabricio.
That is correct.
Ranking member, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. So my question then comes, would those trucks be allowed to stay overnight or for a period of time on agricultural land?
Yes, they would.
Representative Fabricio, you're recognized.
They would be.
Thank you.
Representative Gant for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I see the definition of agricultural lands. Is that publicly owned land or protected land that can fall under it? I'm not familiar with this, so I want clarity, or I would like if you could provide clarity.
Representative Fabricio.
This bill does not have anything to do with public lands. This bill has to do with private ag lands.
Representative Gant for a follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So would that be, if it's private agricultural land, would it be a contract between the traveling carnival company with whomever the owner is, and this bill would allow that contract to be enforceable or for them to enter into that contract?
Representative Fabricio.
Yes.
Members, additional questions? Seeing no additional questions, we do have one amendment. Vice Chair Yeager, you're recognized to offer your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment just makes a grammatical change, does not change the context or intent of the bill.
Thank you very much, Vice Chair Yeager. Members, are there questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions on the amendment, is there public testimony? Having no public testimony on the amendment, is there debate? Members, seeing no debate on the amendment, and Vice Chair Yeager having waived close, will show that amendment adopted without objection. We're now back on the bill and we'll move to public testimony. Having no public testimony, members, is there debate? Debate on the bill. Ranking member, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, be quick. Representative Rizzo, I was up on this bill in the beginning. I believe I even told you I would be up on the bill, but after hearing your testimony here today, I'm going to have to be down on it, only because the issues we are having in the Palm Beach County area with these trucks parking on agricultural lands, and this would go right under that same banner of heavy-duty trucks being parked on agricultural land. So for that reason, I'm going to have to be down on it today.
Members, additional debate. Additional debate. Seeing none, Representative Fabricio, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Members, this is a good bill. It's narrowly tailored. It's specific to carnival equipment and circus equipment. It's for a specified amount of time. So because it is so narrowly tailored to an industry that's in need of this type of resource, and it would be between two willing contractual parties, I ask for your support.
Thank you very much. Having closed on his bill, Amy, please call the roll on House Bill 1659 by Representatives Fabricio and Botana and announce the vote.
Chair Soroy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yeager?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Casello?
No.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Gant?
No.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland? Yes. Mello?
Yes.
Nixon? Robinson?
Yes.
Schoaf? Silvers? Valdez? 11 yeas and 4 nays.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, we'll show that bill reported favorably. Next, we'll move to House Bill 1579, Occupational Licensing, by Representative Mooney. Representative Mooney, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Chair, Ranking Member, Committee. House Bill 1579 provides a procedure for the Construction Industry Licensing Board to issue a license to a registered contractor in good standing who was registered locally during calendar years 2021, 2022, or 2023 in circumstances where the local jurisdiction no longer issues local licenses, and that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Mooney, for that explanation. Members, are there questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, we'll now move to public testimony. Having no public testimony, members, is there debate? Debate on the bill. Seeing no debate, Representative Mooney, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Waive close.
Having waived close, Amy, please call the roll on House Bill 1579 and announce the vote.
Chair Soroy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yeager?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Casello?
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Gant? Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Nixon? Robinson?
Yes.
Shove? Silvers?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
We'll show that bill reported favorably. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Chair.
Members, next we'll move to House Bill 1647 by Representative Roach, local regulation of nonconforming and unsafe structures. And I understand you have a committee of your own to get back to. Chair Roach, you're recognized.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chair Saroy. Members, this is our second time here in this committee with House Bill 1647. You voted it out of committee last year. This is the Safe Structures and Resiliency Bill from last year with some substantial revisions. And essentially, a quick recap on what the bill does. It allows owners and developers of properties that intersect with coastal construction control line to demolish existing structures if they're nonconforming with FEMA guidelines, have been deemed unsafe by local building officials, or have been ordered to be demolished. Last year's version of the bill, we had some concerns about the applicability of language to certain historic districts and contributing structures. And we've narrowed the language to apply only to those qualifying structures along the state shoreline that are most vulnerable during emergency events. Happy to take any questions from the committee, sir.
Thank you very much for that explanation. Members, are there questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, we will now move. You have one amendment. Representative Roach, you're recognized to explain your amendment.
Yes, thank you, Chair. So this amendment is simply a severability clause. This is a land use issue. We know these things can get litigated sometimes. So the amendment simply says if any part of this is held invalid, then the invalidity does not affect the other provisions of the bill. That's the amendment, sir.
Thank you, Representative Roach, for that explanation. Members, are there questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions on the amendment, having no public testimony on the amendment. Members, is there debate? Seeing Representative Nixon? We're in, I didn't see who that was. We're on the amendment right now. If you turn in a card, you can speak on the bill. Members, we're in debate on the amendment. Debate on the amendment. Seeing no debate, Representative Roach, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Waive close, Chairman.
Having waived close, members will show the amendment adopted without objection. We'll now move to public testimony on the bill. Kimberly Dinkins, 1,000 Friends of Florida, waives in opposition. Terry D'Amico is an opponent of the bill. Ma'am, you're recognized for 1 minute.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and representatives. My name is Terry D'Amico. I'm a council member of Bay Harbor Islands. I'm not speaking on behalf of the town today. I'm here because I am an architectural historian. I'm a former adjunct professor at FIU School of Architecture with a 30-year career designing oceanfront hotels and resorts throughout Florida and the Caribbean. I worked with Morris Lapidus, the famous architect of the Fountain Blue and Eden Rock. I coined the term MIMO to represent Miami's significant post-war history and its mid-century architecture. I'm here to ask that you remove the term non-conforming, as it is misleading. FEMA-based flood elevation, if we don't meet that, it does not mean the building is unsafe. These buildings have lasted for years. We worked with the property owners and formed consent among the designation of the North Beach Resort District. Just a few blocks along Collins Avenue, it is the average, we're celebrating the average American be able to get down to Florida in a car, and they were, the beauty of it was after the war, it was the glamour of arriving both physically and socially. Thank you. Please consider that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Daniel Ciraldo, Miami Design Preservation League, is an opponent of the bill. Sir, you're recognized for 1 minute.
Thank you so much, members, and I'm going to put my timer on because I do not speak as fast as all of you, but I'm learning. So Daniel Ciraldo with Miami Design Preservation League here from Miami Beach. We first wanted to say that although we're listed as an opposer, we were very happy with the latest version, and we want to thank the representative. The latest version actually does limit the impact to our historic districts throughout the coast of Florida, whether Miami Beach or St. Augustine or St. Petersburg, Sarasota, Key West, Fort Myers, and I won't, list out all the rest. But what we would like to ask is if the sponsor would be willing to work with us, because the language of non-conforming as it's currently written, it would mean that any structure along this certain area of the coast that isn't at the brand new FEMA requirement would be considered unsafe. And we don't really think that's a way to call our business hotels and resorts that generate a lot of revenue and great stuff for the community. So I think that's me, but we look forward to working further. Thank you.
Your time has expired. Members, that concludes public testimony. We're now in debate. Is there debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Roach, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just real quick, I would just point out, and I should have pointed this out in the opening, that we have some specific places, some specific carve-outs in the bill. This bill will not apply to any structure that's listed in the National Register of Historic Places, will not apply to single-family homes, will not apply to structures on barrier islands with less than 10,000 people, that have at least six city blocks that are not within the high hazard flood zone. So there are some carve outs to try to address the concerns that the opponents of the bill raise. We'll continue to work to get this bill in a posture that everyone loves. Thank you, Chairman, for hearing the bill.
Thank you very much, Representative Roach. Having closed on House Bill 1647, Amy, please call the roll and announce the vote.
Chair Saroy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yeager?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Casello?
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Chamberlain? Gant?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Nixon? Robinson?
Yes.
Shoaf? Silvers? Yes. Valdez?
13 yeas. Members, by your vote, will show the bill reported favorably. Next, we'll move to House Bill 709, In-Store Servicing of Alcoholic Beverages, by Representative Rizzo. Representative Rizzo, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you very much, Chair, Vice Chair, and Ranking Member and members. Current law prohibits the in-store servicing of spirits of any kind, including the category known as ready-to-drink cocktails, or RTDs, though RTDs can be sold in grocery stores and convenience stores. When the law was enacted, there was never any anticipation for pre-mixed drinks in a can ready to be consumed without any additional mixing intended. Typically, spirits do not require servicing of any kind due to their ability to remain fresh on the shelves in perpetuity. However, once mixed with soda water, juices, or other sugar-based mixes in a prepackaged can, the quality of the product does diminish over time. Thus, the ability to service these products or place them on shelves, rotate out of code products, et cetera, is necessary. This is a win-win for Florida's consumers, as it will help showcase the variety of spirits available to help fix any issues as they relate to the freshness of these RTDs as they potentially reach their shelf life. It would apply to any distributor who sells any type of distilled products, and it does nothing to change where any type of product can be sold. And Mr. Chairman, there's an amendment.
Representative Rizzo, thank you for that explanation. Members, first we'll take questions on the bill, and then we'll move to the amendment. Are there questions on the bill? Representative Nixon, you're recognized for a question.
Thanks, Chair. So a vendor could be like someone who has a coffee shop and is selling this as well. That's what you would consider that, and they can service it.
Thank you. Representative Rizzo, you're recognized.
Well, that's the ultimate vendor. I guess pointed to your question, the ultimately that is a vendor of the ultimate product. Mm-hmm. But we do have vendors of these RTDs and things like that sell to the, I guess you could call them a wholesaler or distributor. Actually, they would be the ones to sell to these retail locations.
Members, additional questions? Are there additional questions? Seeing no additional questions, Representative Rizzo, you're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you very much, Chair. This amendment eliminates the prohibition of in-store servicing of distilled spirits. It creates a new section of law to allow for the in-servicing of distilled spirits and defines what in-store servicing for distilled spirits is. In-store servicing of malt beverages and wine by a distributor is already permissible in law. If passed, this would allow or add distilled spirits to products that can be serviced
by distributors. Any distributor who sells these products to a vendor would be able to service them. The amendment does not change where any type of alcoholic beverage can or cannot be sold. It does not alter the three-tier system in any way. Currently, a wholesaler must deliver the product to the vendor and leave it for the vendor to place on shelves. This amendment would allow the wholesaler the ability to do so, and it would not change the law prohibiting the in-store servicing of other traditional spirits. That is the amendment, sir.
Thank you for that explanation on the amendment. Members, are there questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions, we'll now move to public testimony on the amendment. We have a few cards here. Jared Ross, Florida Beer Wholesalers Association, waves in support. Andrew Rutledge, Molson Coors Beverage Company, waves in support. Monica Rodriguez, Southern Glazers Wine and Spirits, waves in support. Kelly Millett, Gold Coast Beverage, Florida Distributing, Reyes Holdings, waves in support. That is appreciated. Members, we're now in debate on the amendment. Is there debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate on the amendment, Representative Maggard, is there debate? Oh, thank you. Seeing no debate on the amendment, Representative Rizzo, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
A wave close.
Having wave close, we'll show the amendment adopted without objection. Members, we're now back on the bill, and we'll move to public testimony. Kelly Millett, Gold Coast Beverage, Florida Distributing, and Reyes Holdings, waves in support. Natalie King, Pepin Distributing Company, waves in support. Scott Dick, ABC Wine and Spirits, is a proponent of the bill. Waving in support of the bill. Jared Ross, Florida Beer Wholesalers Association, is it a proponent of the bill, waving in support. Members, that concludes public testimony. We're now in debate. Is there debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Rizzo, you're recognized to close on your bill.
I wave close.
Having waved close, Amy, please call the roll on House Bill 709, in-store servicing of alcoholic beverages, and announce the vote.
Chair Saroy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yeager?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Casello?
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Nixon? Robinson?
Yes.
Schoaf? Silvers?
Yes.
Valdez? 14 yeas, zero nays.
Thank you, Amy. We'll show that bill reported favorably.
Thank you.
Members, if you'll give us just one moment. With Vice Chair Yeager's gracious agreement, I'll pass the gavel to Ranking Member Casello.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Vice Chair. This is quite an honor. Next up, we'll have House Bill 1483, Pinellas County Construction Licensing Board, Pinellas County, by Cheney.
Well, thank you, Chair Casello. Thank you, committee, for hearing my bill. This is a very simple local bill that removes duplicative licensing and fees for contractors in Pinellas County. It also conforms to current state law definitions and licenses, and that is the bill.
Members, are there any questions of Representative Cheney's on her bill? Representative Nixon?
Thank you. Hey, Rep. Cheney.
Hi.
It sounds like a preemption bill. Were you able to talk to Pinellas County or anything? And do you know how much it's going to affect them to remove the licensing costs and things like that?
Representative Cheney, sorry.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, thank you for that question, Rep. Nixon. I did work with Pinellas County, with the county commissions, the administrator, the board, and everybody was in agreement with the solution in this bill.
Are there any further questions of the bill sponsor? Seeing none, we have public testimony. Edward Briggs from the Associated Builders and Contractors, Florida Gulf Coast Chapter, waving in support of the bill. Members, are there any members wishing to debate on the bill? Representative Cheney, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close.
Amy, please call the roll.
Chair Saroy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yeager?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Casello?
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Nixon? Robinson? Shove? Silvers?
Yes.
Members, by your vote, will show HB 1483 passed favorably.
Thank you.
Representative Cheney.
Great job, Ranking Member. Thank you very much, Vice Chair Yeager. Members, next we'll move to House Bill 1335, Department of Business and Professional Regulation, by our very own Representative Maggard. Representative Maggard, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and members of the subcommittee. I'm honored to present HB 1335, an act relating to Department of Business and Professional Regulation Agency Bill. This bill makes technical changes that revolve largely around modernization and streamlining of the agency. This bill also brings the Employee Leasing Board, Mobile Home Corporation, under the House in-house oversight. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Representative Maggard, for that explanation. Members, are there questions of Representative Maggard? Representative Nixon, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair. I just had a question, Rep, in regards to the purpose of you increasing the surety bonds required for distributors regarding tobacco.
Representative Maggard, you're recognized.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear. One more time.
I'm sorry. I had a question wanting to know the reason you raised the required the surety bond requirement from $1,000 to $25,000.
Representative Maggard, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the question. It really to help stop bad actors, and that's really it in a basic form.
Members, additional questions? Ranking Member Casello, you're recognized.
I just have one question. Thank you, Chair. Representative, can you ask me why it removes the requirement that the DBPR must consider the minority and female status of applicants when qualifying deputy pilots?
Representative Maggard, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Ranking Member, for that question. I asked the same question. And what I learned through my my research into this, these are the best of the best. I didn't really realize how important the harbor pilots are. You know, they explained to me at one time they can be bringing in a cruise ship of 1,180 feet, 7,000 passengers, 2,300 crew members weighing about 250,000 gross tons. And you got to be able to navigate that like through Tampa Bay all the way through there. And you can only have the best at this. And they just want to be able to make sure they can only have the best. As freight increases in Florida, this becomes more and more important. So it allows them to hire just the best that can drive those ships because the next ship may be an oil tanker. So that's the reason.
Thank you very much. Members, are there additional questions? Representative Nixon.
Thank you, Chair. Rep, can you break down and explain to me, so your bill allows local construction contractor licensing agencies to recommend restitution as a disciplinary action. Can you kind of like walk me through that and what it does?
Representative Nixon, my apologies. If you could pull the microphone really close and speak a little bit louder. I'm just finding it difficult to hear. If you would,
hello, can
that's
you?
Much better, much better. Thank you, Representative.
Thanks. Can you talk to me a little bit more about allowing the construction contractor licensing agencies to recommend restitution as disciplinary action? Just trying to gauge what that means.
Representative Maggard, you're recognized.
Thank you so much. When we get into debate, I'll let the agency answer that question for them. They have a better answer than I. Thank you.
Members, additional questions? Additional questions? Seeing no additional questions, we will now move to public testimony. We have Derek Miller, Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, waving in support. That concludes public testimony. Members, we're now in debate. Is there debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Maggard, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close.
Having waived close, Amy, please call the roll on House Bill 1335 and announce the vote.
Chair Saroy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yeager?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Casello? Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Gant?
No.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland? Yes. Mello?
Yes.
Nixon?
No.
Robinson? Shove?
Yes.
Silvers? Valdez? 11 yeas and 2 nays.
Thank you, Amy. Members, by your vote, we'll show that bill reported favorably. Members, next we're going to move to House Bill 7045, Department of the Lottery, by Representative Porras. Representative Porras, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this bill saves from repeal public record exemptions relating to the Department of the Lottery that protects certain information about lottery games, personal identifying information of retailers and vendors for the purposes of background investigations, certain financial information of vendors, and information lasting to the cybersecurity of the department. The bill also extends the repeal date for the cybersecurity exemption to October 2nd, 2027, to coincide with the further OGSR repeal date of the general cybersecurity exemption so that those exemptions can be reviewed together. And that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much for that explanation. Members, are there questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, we'll now move to public testimony. Having no public testimony, is there debate? Members, seeing no debate, Representative Porras, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close, Mr.
Having waived close, Amy, please call the roll on House Bill 7045 and announce the vote.
Chair Saroy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yeager?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Casello?
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Robinson? Shove?
Yes.
Silvers?
Thank you, members. By your vote, we'll show that bill reported favorably. Members, next we'll move to House Bill 1021, Community Associations, by Representative Lopez. Representative Lopez, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and members. So as you all know, last year we passed Senate Bill 154 that addressed condominium safety and financial reserves. This year, House Bill 1021 addresses various aspects related to the governance of condominium and cooperative associations, as well as the practice of community association management. That is the bill. There is a strike all, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for that explanation. Committee members, with your indulgence, we'll go ahead and move to the strike all, and then we'll take questions on the strike all amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lopez, to explain the strike all.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the key provisions of the strike all include addressing community association management, access to official records of condominium associations, criminal penalties, condominium association budgets, financial reporting and reserves, meetings of boards of administration, education requirements for officers and directors, voting in condominium associations, hurricane protection installation, prohibitions against slap suits, officers and directors, divisions, jurisdiction and audits, and cooperative associations. That is the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much for that explanation of the amendment. Members, are there questions? Questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions, we'll now move to public testimony. Having no public testimony on the amendment, members, is there debate? Debate on the amendment. Seeing no debate on the amendment, Representative Lopez, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Waive close.
Having waived close, we will show that amendment adopted without objection. Members, we're now back on the bill and we'll move to public testimony. We have one appearance card. Etta Fernandez, AARP, waves in support. That concludes public testimony. Members, is there debate? Is there debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Lopez, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Wave close, Mr. Chair.
Having waived close, Amy, please call the roll on House Bill 1021 and announce the vote.
Chair Saroy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yeager?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Casello?
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard? Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Nixon? Robinson? Shove? Yes. Silvers?
Yes.
14 yeas.
Thank you, members. By your vote, we'll show that bill reported favorably. Next, we'll move to House Bill 1379, Human Trafficking, by Representative Amnesty. Representative Amnesty, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and committee members for the opportunity to present before you all this afternoon. The purpose of House Bill 1379 is to fight against modern-day slavery, whose victims include young children, teenagers, and adults who may be citizens that are trafficked domestically within the border of the United States or smuggled across international jurisdictions. The adult entertainment establishments are widely recognized as being a significant part of the sex trafficking network used by the traffickers to attract men, women, and children into performing sexual acts. This bill would restrict persons younger than 21 years of age to work at an adult entertainment establishment. This bill would place clear language in statute expressing that a person may not knowingly employ any person younger than 21 years of age to work at an adult establishment, as defined in statute 847.001, making it second-degree felony. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Representative Amnesty, thank you for that explanation. Members, are there questions on the bill? Representative Gant, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On line 162, it has 21 years of age. Why are we using 21 years of age in this language?
Representative Amnesty, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Gant, as mentioned, it has been identified that 21 years of age is a reasonable time frame. There has been similar legislation passed in Texas, Louisiana, and in local jurisdictions such as the city of Jacksonville. I think this is a common sense approach.
Representative Gant, for a follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What data supports using 21 years of age?
Representative Amnesty, you're recognized.
I'm more than happy to share with your office specific data that supports the 21 years of age. But if you look at reasonable policy that has been passed across the country, lawmakers have passed legislation in Texas and Louisiana, including local ordinance in the city of Jacksonville, that justifies that 21 years of age is much more than reasonable to ensure that women specifically and men are not working in these local establishments.
Representative Gant for a follow-up, and then we'll move to Representative Nixon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So when I look at statute on line 166, and I look up statute 847.001, subsection 1, it says adult means a person 18 years of age. So there is a conflict between the reference statute and the age listed in the proposed language in this bill. How do you reconcile conflicting with the already existing statute?
Representative Amnesty, you're recognized.
I think it's important to know that specific statute 847.001 section 2 defines adult entertainment establishments as adult bookstores, adult theaters, special cabarets, specifically strip clubs. And I think it's imperative that we pass this legislation to ensure that we don't have specifically young women under the age of 21 working at these centers that have been identified that are critical and that are a hub for the human trafficking that's going on. Currently, Florida is ranked number 3 in human trafficking. We need to ensure that we don't continue to allow this to happen. So I think it's clear in statute, and I look forward to providing more information specifically to your office.
Representative Nixon for a question.
Thank you, Chair. Reb, do you know, in regards to the data that you just mentioned, do you have the numbers as it relates to the breakdown of adults who are 18 to 20 having been trafficked? Do you have those numbers right offhand?
Representative Amnesty, you're recognized.
I'm more than happy to share with your office specific data, but it is important to note that 44% of young women that are being trafficked in the country are usually younger than the age of 21. Specifically, most are within the age of 17, 18, and 19 years of age. So I think it's imperative that we minimize. Again, we're not talking about prohibiting adults to work in their area of preference, but rather saying that if you're going to work at an adult entertainment industry establishment, specifically a strip club, you should not be younger the age of 21 years of age.
Representative Nixon for a follow-up.
Thank you, Chair. Are you not concerned that this is infringing upon an adult's rights to work where they want to if they are 18 years old? You're not concerned about that?
Representative Amnesty, you're recognized.
So as lawmakers, we pass legislation that really protects the matter of public safety. Now, when it comes down to concerns of whether it's constitutional or whether we're infringing on specific matters of rights, I will say that the courts have defined that it is constitutional because it is a matter of public safety. If you want to work
as a, for example, if you want to work in, as a stripper, so forth, that is your right to decide, as long as, you know, you don't work in an establishment and you're younger than the age of 21 years of age, because we have identified as lawmakers across the country, specifically in Texas, Louisiana, and in the city of Jacksonville, that if you're younger than 20 years of age and you have access to working in these establishments, it is a hub, it is a door opening towards human trafficking and addictions and so forth. So I think it is imperative that we protect the young women specifically of the state of Florida with this policy.
Members, additional questions? Additional questions? Seeing no additional questions, we'll now move to public testimony. We have John Labroyla, Christian Family Coalition of Florida, waves in support. And Aaron DiPietro, Florida Family Policy Council, waves in support. Members, we're now in debate. Is there debate? Representative Nixon, you're recognized in debate.
Thanks, Chair. So I'm going to vote down on this bill. I just find it very hypocritical of us to state that, you know, 16 and 17-year-olds can work unlimited hours, for us to then go and lower the age of buying guns, but we have a problem with people having their own autonomy and working in the adult entertainment industry. It's legitimate work. And if folks want to do it, they should be allowed to do it. They have their own minds. It is their bodies. And I think we need to stop being hypocritical in this body, and stop demonizing certain types.
Representative
of
work. Nixon, I'm going to stop you there, because I think we're starting to kind of get into some territory where it's becoming a bit personal. Let's stay focused on the policy. I welcome your debate on the policy, but let's just be mindful of observing decorum. Representative Nixon, you're recognized to continue your debate.
I'll close.
Representative Gant, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do recognize that human trafficking is an issue. And I do recognize that we as a legislature should be doing things to stop human trafficking. And one of those things could be funding organizations that are directly attacking or providing support service for human trafficking. Now, where I find the issue in this bill, and while I understand the intent, is if we reference statute 847.001, the very first subsection of that statute defines what adult means. It literally says adult means a person 18 years of age or older. And if we look at the language in this bill itself, it talks about specific exceptions of where an 18-year-old can be, or persons under 18 can be employed. And so I don't see the number 21 on any of them. And I look through all of the language that's in this bill that precludes or precedes the added language that starts on line 162 and ends on line 169. So it was seven instances where 18 years old was the actual standard. So now we're telling adults from 18 to 20 what they can and cannot do. An 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20-year-old can enlist in our military and risk their lives for us. And we're telling them that no, because we find it immoral, or that's an assumption, or we may not think that it's best for you as a young woman or a young man to work in these establishments, that you don't have that ability. And I know that we regulate things like alcohol that, you know, is at 21 years of age, but how is this tantamount to the regulation of alcohol? And I don't find that reconciliation here in the language or provided in any of the answers. And there is a direct conflict with 21 years of age with the statute that's quoted. And my last point will be, I'm always hesitant to create a new felony or a new crime, right? So I see the language on page 164. It does say knowingly, and I understand that. But an establishment can still be charged with a second-degree felony be facing 15 years of prison of their life if they can't choose that they didn't know. I mean, if they can't prove that they didn't know. So that knowingly portion does not preclude a person from being prosecuted, having to hire a defense attorney, have to hire, I mean, spend thousands of dollars in their defense, and ultimately, and to be clear, engaging in a criminal system is a very traumatic experience. So going through that entire process to defend themselves and facing 15 years, and then what if they are convicted? And it was wrongfully so, and then they spend time in prison. That punishment or the penalty of a second-degree felony is tremendously serious, and it's something that should be taken into consideration when we're talking about regulating adults' actions, and we're not talking about children. Because if it was a minor, you know, I would understand under 17 years and under, I would understand that, but we're talking about adults. So I will be down on the bill. I do think that we do have a duty to address human trafficking, but regulating adults, I don't think that that is the answer that we need. And thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Gant. Members, is there debate? Further debate? Seeing no further debate, I'll simply add before you recognize the close, Representative Anstey, that I appreciate your passion and your interest on this issue as it relates to human trafficking. I know it's a grave concern to many members of this body and our Attorney General as well. So I appreciate your deep dive into it. Look forward to your work on the subject matter. With that, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this bill will be transformational for our state. Currently, Florida is ranked third nationally for reported cases of human trafficking abuses, including sex trafficking. Let the record reflect that there are members in the legislature that believe 18 and 19 and 20-year-olds should work in the adult entertainment industry, which is an open door for human trafficking and addictions. But I will say that my vision for young women of Florida is to not work in any adult entertainment establishments, but rather get an education, a career, and excel in life. With this policy, we will protect our young generation from working in places that we all know are human trafficking hubs. The adult entertainment establishments are no place for persons younger than 21 years of age. With your vote today, you will unite on this important cause, ending human trafficking in Florida. And with that, I close, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Amy, please call the roll on House Bill 1379, Human Trafficking, by Representative Amnesty, and report the vote.
Chair Soroy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yeager?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Casello?
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Gant?
No.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Nixon? Robinson?
Yes.
Shove?
Yes.
Silvers? Yes. And Valdez?
Thank you, members. By your vote, we'll show House Bill 1379, Human Trafficking, reported by Representative Amnesty, reported favorably. Members, next we're going to move to House Bill 613, Mobile Home Park Lot Tenancies, by Representative Stark. Thank you for your patience, Representative Stark. You're recognized to present your bill.
To take up an amendment, strike all amendment.
That would be fine. I'll go ahead and recognize you to explain the amendment, and then we'll take questions on the amendment.
The amendment is a compromise between the mobile home owners and the mobile home park owners, and it does three things. First, there is language that will assist homeowners and park owners in dispute resolution through mediation in a more timely manner. Number two, it also clarifies that a live-in assistant for healthcare purposes may have a background screening, as current residents must have, and will not have to pay additional rent, and they will not have a right of tenancy if the assistance is no longer required. And finally, it will clarify the public purposes of the Florida Mobile Home Relocation Corporation and bring the assistance provided to homeowners closer to today's cost to relocate a mobile home. And that is the bill.
Thank you, members. Representative Stark has explained the amendment. Are there questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions, we'll now move to public testimony on the amendment. Having no public testimony, members, is there debate on the amendment? Debate on the amendment. Seeing no debate on the amendment, Representative Stark, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Waive close.
Having waived close, members, we will show that amendment adopted without objection. We're now back on the bill, and we'll move to public testimony. Lori Killinger, Florida Manufactured Housing Association, waves in support. Nancy Stewart, Federation of Manufactured Homeowners of Florida, waves in support. Members, that concludes public testimony. We're now in debate. Is there debate? Ranking Member Cosello, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Stark, thank you for bringing this bill forward. And now I will be able to clear my emails. I've got 1,139 emails in support of your bill. So you got a lot of support out, public support out there, and I'm going to be up on it today.
Thank you, sir. We have a mighty team out there.
Members, further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Stark, I want to thank you for your work on this issue. I know that this bill has been a long time in progress for you. I appreciate your advocacy. You're recognized to close.
Thank you so much. I'll wave close.
Having waved close, Amy, please call the roll on House Bill 613, Mobile Home Park Lot Tenancies by Representative Stark.
Chair Saroy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yeager?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Cosello?
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty? Chamberlain? Gant?
Yes.
Holcomb? Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Nixon? Robinson?
Yes.
Shove?
Yes.
Silvers? Yes. 13 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you very much, Amy. We'll show that bill reported favorably.
Thank you very much, members.
Representative. Members, next we'll move to House Bill 909, Paramutual Permit Holders by Representative Esposito. Representative Esposito, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Chair. Members, this bill allows permit holders to lease their facilities to other licensed permit holders within a 35-mile radius. That is the bill.
Members, are there questions? Questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, we'll now take up public testimony. Having no public testimony, members, is there debate? Is there debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Esposito, you're recognized to close.
Wave close.
Having waived close, Amy, please call the roll on House Bill 909, Paramutual Permit Holders, and report the vote.
Vice Chair Yeager?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Cosello?
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty? Chamberlain? Gant?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Nixon? Robinson?
Yes.
Shove?
Yes.
Silvers? Yes. Valdez? And Chair Saroy?
No.
12 yeas, 1 nay.
Members, by your vote, we'll show the bill reported favorably. Next, we'll move to House Bill 1327, Charitable Organizations by Representative Persons Mullica. Welcome, Representative. You're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, members. It's an honor to be in front of you to present House Bill 1327. And I apologize for my sniffles. Members, our way of life is under constant threat from foreign enemies. And today we are seeing full-scale war being replaced by more subtle attacks. We have reports of the Chinese Communist Party launching spy balloons, constructing secret police stations, using cyber weapons to gather intel across America, and buying up certain land in our country. It is why last year in the state of Florida, we banned the sale of agricultural land and property around critical military installations. Florida closed the loop on that source of danger, and it is time to take on another. A national security assessment published in 2023 by the Office of National Intelligence reports foreign interests are using a variety of tools, like front groups, to build influence at the state and local level to shift U.S. policy. What does this look like? Money to fund litigation, deceptive propaganda, funneled through domestic charities who use those funds to influence local government policies. We cannot allow America's enemies to take advantage of our open society to manipulate policy at the state and local level. This bill prohibits charitable organizations from soliciting or accepting contributions or other assistance of value from certain sources related to a foreign country of concern. This bill further requires the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services to create a voluntary honest services registry to provide better transparency to the residents of the state. An organization may request to be listed on the registry if it attests that it does not solicit or accept funding, support, or content, or is influenced by sources related to a foreign country of concern. Members, that is the bill.
Thank you. Members, questions? Representative Gant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if there is a charitable organization that provides necessities to anyone in these countries or to people who just came from these countries, are we saying that they cannot, like Cuba, for instance, I'm from Miami, so Cuba is a foreign country of concern. So if someone donates to a charitable organization that provides some type of assistance to Cubans in any way, they'll be prohibited under this? Can you give me clarity?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. No, this just prohibits charitable organizations operating in this state from soliciting or accepting funds from foreign countries of concern or different sources relating with foreign countries of concern.
Representative Gant for a follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The last portion of your answer, you said anyone from the country or relating to the country. Can you repeat that for me or clarify what you mean by that last portion of relating to?
Representative Persons-Mullica, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. In the bill, we define foreign countries of concern, which is consistent in other parts of Florida statutes, stating what a foreign country of concern is. The People's Republic of China, the Russian Federation, Islamic Republic of Iran, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, the Republic of Cuba, the Venezuelan regime of Nicolas Maduro, or the Syrian Arab Republic. We know that these foreign countries of concern are smart enough to not be giving funds directly from the government entity. So we define foreign sources of concern to look for any type of entity, agent, foreign person who they would be using to funnel money to organizations in the state to capture them under the definition of foreign source of concern, as stated in the bill.
Representative Nixon for a follow-up.
Thank you, Chair. So, are you not concerned? Okay, because you have independent citizens. So, if someone establishes a nonprofit over here in Florida, we'll use Rep. Gant's example, that is helping folks who maybe come from Cuba or Venezuela, if they have family members in Cuba or Venezuela that want to potentially donate to that cause, they will not be allowed. Rep. Gant's organization that she created just now, they won't be able to accept those funds? That's what you're saying?
Representative Persons-Mullica, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. Any person who is domiciled in a foreign country of concern and is not a citizen or lawful permanent resident of the United States, would monies from that category of persons, charitable organizations in the state of Florida would not be able to solicit or accept monies from that category of persons.
Members, additional questions? Representative Gant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you know if any similar bills have been passed, and if they have they been challenged in court?
Representative Persons-Mullica, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do not.
Representative Gant for a follow-up.
Thank you. So I asked that question because there was a similar law that passed in California, and I guess this is a debate, so strike that.
Members, additional questions? Seeing no additional questions, we'll now move to public testimony. We have no public testimony. We're now in debate. Is there debate? Representative Gant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So as I started before, a similar law passed in California requiring the disclosure of charitable organization donors to be given, or disclosure, I already said that. But it was struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court as a violation of the donor's First Amendment rights. So I know we often use California as the antithesis to what we want Florida to be, but that particular, it's a similar bill to this, was struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court. And so I think we need to take that into consideration. And especially being from Miami, I have friends who have family members in Cuba who have different organizations and so on and so forth. And their passion for still helping the people that are there in Cuba or, you know, I don't know how this will impact people in these countries. And lines 47 to 49 specifically states anyone domiciled in those countries. And so I don't know if we are, you know, subsuming innocent people who don't necessarily share the views of their government but are citizens of that country into punishing the government and how that would impact whatever type of help, education, therapeutic, anything that these charitable organizations are providing. And I tend to err on listening to professionals, and when these charitable organizations are the ones in the work, doing the ground, helping the people, I don't profess to be some ultra-crepidarian politician who thinks I know everything about everything. So I defer to them. And so for me, the constitutional concerns are present as well as the humanitarian concerns. So for that, I'll be down today, and I can provide you with that information regarding the law in California.
Members, is there additional debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Persons-Maluka, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for members for your questions. Thank you, Representative Gant, for your debate. I am well aware of that case. In this case, this bill does not require blanket disclosure of donors. It's very narrowly tailored to an important government interest, which is protecting us from the threat that we see is out there. And it'll be too late to wait until they've already influenced local policy in a variety of ways, and it's time to be proactive. And when the federal government fails the state, we can stand up and we can do what's needed to protect our freedom and protect our rights. And I ask for your support.
Having closed on our bill, Amy, please call the roll on House Bill 1327, Charitable Organizations, and announce the vote.
Chair Saroy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yeager?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Casello?
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty? Chamberlain? Gant?
No.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Nixon? Robinson?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers? Yes. Valdez?
10 yeas and 2 nays. Members, by your vote, we'll show that bill reported favorably. Thank you very much. Congratulations, Representative. Members, we did it. We made it through our considerable agenda today. Ranking Member, do you have any closing comments?
Just that unbelievable, the agenda we had today, and we're going to still have time for lunch is unbelievable. Thank you, Chair.
Vice Chair Yeager.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really think that the ranking member brought us home with this one bill. He sped the whole process up for us, so I give him all credit.
That's right.
I'm just kidding.
Thank you very much. Members, I want to tell you just how very grateful I am to continue to work with each of you. Look forward to see what we'll continue to work on together. And with that, Representative Silvers, you're recognized, sir, for a motion. Representative Silvers moves that the committee stand adjourned. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned.